early box office numbers are coming in for this weekend, and it looks like The Flash is going to have another devastating weekend. So let's talk about it. So The Flash came out a week ago, and it would be an understatement to say that it hasn't been doing well. Every single box office report that has come out about this film has been horrific. It is doing shockingly bad. Its opening numbers were well below projections. All throughout the week, it kept having bigger drops than expected. And now we are getting the early tracking for its second weekend, and it's looking like it's going to have a 75% drop, which is just catastrophic. So, why do you think that is? Join me down below in the comments section. Let me know, why is The Flash doing so bad? There's a lot of factors that go into this. Which one do you think is the biggest factor causing this movie to not connect at all with a wide audience? Now, to kind of put this into perspective, it opened last weekend with $55 million here domestic, which was well below the estimates, or $15 million below the estimates. It was estimated that the movie or projected to open at $70 million, which itself was a shockingly low number to a lot of us, because this is a member of the Justice League that's never had his own film before. It's marketed as having two different Batmen in it, all sorts of speculation of other DC cameos happening. And they've been marketing it a long time. They're putting this narrative out there that it was fantastic. And it was only tracking to do $70 million, which is just a pinch more than Black Adam opened last fall. And the Black Adam was largely viewed as a big disappointment. And this was only projected to open a pinch more than that. Or even think 6 weeks back, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 opened over $100 million. Quantumania opened over $100 million, and there was a little bit of like, oh, is there superhero fatigue? These movies only made $110 million opening weekend. And this is being was projected to only opened it at $70 million. And then the numbers came in. $15 million less. It opened at $55 million domestic, which would be less than half of what Guardians did. And Guardians was a little bit of a soft opening. It's had fantastic legs, but it was a bit of a soft opening. It's half of Quantumania's opening number. I mean, these were just shockingly bad numbers, considering that this is The Flash with multiple Batmen in it. And so then a lot of times, superhero movies will have big drops because they were front-loaded. So then Quantumania had it opened stronger than it probably should have, so it had a huge second weekend drop. But this movie didn't open strong. This movie opened soft. So like most MCU films these days, most of them have kind of like a 60 to 70% drop because they open really big and then it's front end. People want to see, they want to have the conversation at the water cooler Monday morning about the new Marvel movie. All the kids want to go see it. You don't want to spoil it. So you go opening weekend. And so there's a pretty big drop second weekend. What I read, this is the biggest second weekend drop of all time for a comic book movie. I mean, that's how crushingly bad this number is. So it's a movie that was projected to open at $70 million, which was a very low number. It opened even lower than that low number, and then the floor fell out to crushing levels. This movie has no general interest at all. Like this last week, I was working at an event at my church, volunteering, working with teenagers all week, driving them all around. So I was hanging around with over 50 teenagers for an entire week, like literally over 12 hours per day. They know that I do YouTube for a living. They know that I talk about movies for a living. It's kind of a joke, a running gag. But that also means teenagers are running up to me to talk about movies all the time. They talk to me a lot about Cross the Spider-Verse. They talk to me about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We talked even a little bit about Secret Invasion. A lot of talk about Star Wars. No one, not one teenager walked up to me to talk about The Flash. It was the brand new comic book movie that had just come out. Dead. No one was talking about it. And not even to make fun of it. It wasn't like people were walking up cracking jokes about the PlayStation 2 era cutscene graphics in this $200 million movie. No one was talking about it. There was no interest whatsoever. When we were like hanging out with teenagers, doing nothing, all we can do is talk. They're talking with me about movies, and they're not talking about the new comic book movie that just came out. Because no one cared. It wasn't on their radar at all. People didn't go opening weekend. So far below the lowest of projections. And then the floor just crumbled. I mean, no one is showing up. What on earth happened here? And I'm not really into, you know, single variable analysis is usually not particularly accurate when you're talking about things this devastatingly awful, this just shockingly bad of performance. I don't think you can just say it was this one thing, because when you're just so off the mark, you probably have a scenario of just a perfect storm of bad ideas, bad timing, and people named Ezra Miller starring in your movie that are just crushing. Screen Rant actually put out an article with the 15 biggest factors in The Flash's historic box office bomb. And it's a pretty good survey of the different factors that would cause this movie to perform horribly. Now, at number 15 is Ezra Miller and all the controversy and all of that stuff. And as soon as they said that, a bunch of people were like, that should be number one on Ezra Miller. That's kind of a big problem here. But I think to us on the internet that watch videos like this, make videos like this, or on film Twitter all the time, we tracked with every little stupid thing Ezra Miller did. But if you need for a movie to make $150 million, you have to be able to get everyone to go. The people that don't follow anything on YouTube. They don't watch my videos. They don't get on film Twitter. You have to be able to get those people to show up. And I don't think they know who Ezra Miller is, which in its own way is kind of a problem here. But I think the controversy absolutely tarnished this movie for a group of people. It was a huge factor. I've said it many times before. My wife did not want to go see the movie because it wasn't specifically just all the scandals, but it was how Warner Brothers handled it. And if my wife didn't want to go, and like, it obviously she married to me, we go to the movies all the time. That's what we do. And she did end up going, but it was, you know, it was kind of a, all right, I'll do this for you, honey. If it was just up to her, she wouldn't watch the movie because of the Ezra Miller. So that's absolutely a huge factor in here. I think the trickle down also of that one is that at a really weird promotion campaign, and that's another one in their article, they talk about the press tour was weak because the star of their movie shows up to the premiere, but is it supposed to talk? They're not, they don't have Ezra Miller out there doing interviews, out there selling the film. So all the stuff that can like build hype and energy turns into a reminder of the scandal. Or everything is softer because of the scandal. And adding to that, Michael Keaton wasn't a part of any of this. So they're trying to promote the movie on, you know, Michael Keaton and The Flash. Neither one of them were out there promoting the film. I don't think I even saw pictures of Michael Keaton at the world premiere. I might have missed it, but like, it seemed like he was like really detached from all of this. These are stars of the movie and there's nothing out there. And so they're trying to promote it using Supergirl, who's doesn't even show up in the movie till you're like 60% of the way through the film. Like, she is not the star of this film. Andy Muschietti, the director, is not one of these superstar director guys that everybody knows. So I think that Ezra Miller thing had a trickle down that was quite powerful. A big one people are talking about are that they did all these early fan screenings that stopped the biggest fans from buying tickets for the movie opening weekend because they did these free fan screenings across the country. I don't think it's exactly that, because I don't think that the simplicity of the fan screenings caused people to not buy tickets, because even if 1 million people went to these fan screenings, which I think is a huge, that it was a fraction of that showed up, 1 million people don't buy, or 1 million people go to these fan screenings not buying a ticket, that's still only $10 million, which is a lot, for me, but in terms of how this movie has underperformed, it's like nothing. But what did happen is you want your opening night to be people going nuts. You want opening night to have that energy and excitement. And if you pull 100,000, a million, whatever the number was that went to these fan screenings, if you pull all of them out of the opening night screenings, opening weekend screenings, all of a sudden you're left with the people that are more kind of mid-level excitement. Yeah, I want to go see it. I don't want to miss out. But they're not the super fans. You pulled the super fans out of opening weekend. So all of a sudden, the super fans, that buzz from the weeks before it came out is, it's fantastic. And you, all of that was gone from the buzz opening night, opening day, opening weekend. So the buzz went from here down to here. Oh, it's mid. Oh, it's definitely not the most exciting. I mean, it's not like the worst thing ever, but it's just mid. That's not good. I think two ones that I think played against each other really powerfully that are mentioned in this article is that Warner Brothers tried to market this movie as the biggest, the best comic book movie of all time. So they played it at CinemaCon. The David Zaslav, the CEO of Warner Discovery, was like, this is the best comic book movie of all time. I loved it. James Gunn even kind of was selling it that way. And then they picked the handful of people that said extreme things like that at coming out of CinemaCon, and then they put those out there to kind of create this buzz. So the fan screenings had this excitement of like, I'm about to watch the most exciting thing ever. And you kind of got that buzz because they were the super fans. That, and so that was overselling the movie. I loved it. I'm a big fan of this movie, but that's overselling the movie. It's not that. And then the narrative shifted to, oh my goodness, why are the graphics in this movie so shockingly bad? And when you're trying to sell it as the best ever, and everyone that sees your movie goes, yikes, wow, this doesn't look good. That's such a objective thing that's right there, present in your face. It's not a matter of, not really much of a matter of opinion. A bunch of the graphics here look terrible. And it just overshadows anything else. Because it's just your raw experience right there. Like, that looks bad. You're reminding me that I'm watching something bad constantly because all of so much of this looks bad. And that becomes the front and center narrative, which then takes that narrative of it's the best comic movie of all time, and it makes it seem just so cartoonishly over the top. Once again, just creating more bad buzz because you have these two narratives, the movie with the terrible CGI and the movie that was supposed to be the best ever, but then this narrative converts into the most overhyped movie of all time. I mean, they just utterly failed with how they tried to build hype because it was dishonest, and they failed so epically with the CGI that that narrative could just take over and convert this narrative into a negative narrative. And then the last few in here that kind of tie into each other is just, they're a little bit separate, but so multiverse sickness a little bit. We've got a scenario where just 2 weeks before this movie came out, there was a very similar movie that was beloved across the Spider-Verse. They have similar themes. There's some similar plot beats. They're very different in other senses, but you can see parallels in kind of the central conflict, the characters leading through, the idea of inevitable events and how our lead character processes that. Each of the movies handles that idea differently. The result for what the character's trying to do is different, but there's quite a few similar beats in there. And so by comparison, it just feels like we already did a multiverse movie touching on these types of things just a little bit ago. And this one is across the Spider-Verse was clearly much more beloved than The Flash. Though a bunch of us did love The Flash too, but it was absolutely a far more polarizing film. And then tying kind of into that is just utter mistakes in how they handled the nostalgia baiting of... they radically misread how exciting it would be for Michael Keaton to come back for movie audiences. Where Spider-Man No Way Home comes out, they don't even have to market it on the fact that we've got multiple Spider-Men in there. The idea they might be in there, their villains are in there, people showed up in just droves. Insane box office numbers, even though it was like the movie that like broke us out of the COVID slump. Despite that, it's still one of the three biggest domestic opening weekends of all time. And in theory, this is supposed to touch on some of that same stuff, returning heroes from someone's childhood, but such a miscalculated version of it, because the people that go opening weekend are people that are of a certain age range. High schoolers, college kids, young adults, that people where it's you don't have a bunch of kids where it makes it difficult to go out. So you just get these people that go out in droves. The people that grew up with Michael Keaton are my age and older. They're 40 plus like me. And they don't rush out to the theater because they've got kids that are in middle school, high school, elementary school. They got to get a babysitter. They just don't go to the movies as much. They're busier. They're like, I'll just wait for streaming. That urgency isn't quite there. They're not as present in these conversations. Obviously, some of us are. That's why I do this. Go to my fan meetups. I meet some of you guys that you're my age. It absolutely happens. I did a fan meetup for The Flash. I was talking to a guy older than me. I've met him at several of these before. But the core group of people that rush out opening night did not grow up with Michael Keaton. They don't care. So you can put two Batman in there. They don't care who Michael Keaton is. I've had the conversation so many times over the last 2 weeks. Do I need to watch Batman 89 before I see The Flash? So many people have messaged me and asked that. Because I've never seen the film. It doesn't mean anything to them. And I think that's also why a bunch of people watch the film and went, that's fine. And there's nothing special about it. It's fine. Why? Because Batman 89 doesn't mean anything to them. Batman Returns, Michael Keaton don't mean anything to them the way it does to someone like me that grew up with some of this, or that grew up with him in the role. So I just failed utterly on the nostalgia piece to it. But I think the big part to it is the whole DCEU catastrophe, which is DCEU as a brand is utterly tarnished. That there's movies that in there that people have loved, but they don't trust it as a brand. If you look back, the Batman came out last year, opened more than double the number for this film, separate from DCEU or CU. It's its own thing. Open big. It wasn't hurt by DCEU stuff. And other movies have come out. The Joker came out. Made $1 billion, not in the DCEU. But DCEU as a brand just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, where people don't trust it. It's not cohesive. It doesn't feel like it goes together. And you just don't know what you're going to get, what the quality is. And then they announced they're rebooting it anyway. So I don't know what I'm going to get. I don't trust this. I'm going to hold off to hear if it's any good. Oh, they're rebooting it. It doesn't matter anyway. It's going to do something else. Well, might as well sit this one out. Why go check it out? What's the point? So you kind of put those two things together and you have a movie where, oh, I'll wait and see. Oh, the CGI is terrible. Well, you know, why rush out to see it on the big screen if the CGI is terrible? And it's already playing to an older audience that doesn't rush out. So playing an older audience that don't rush out, the narrative is not great. They already feel burned. So they just don't go see the movie. Like, what's even the point of seeing the movie if we're going to reset it anyway? Just a tarnished brand with the stink of Ezra Miller's scandal all over it, utterly misreading the room on some of like the nostalgia stuff. And I think even you with part of the problem is that the Snyderverse fans, the Zack Snyder cult people, they're just like crazy obsessive. It's like they tried to make a movie to pull them in by going back to Man of Steel. Without realizing that if you go back to Man of Steel without it being Zack Snyder doing it, you make them mad. They don't appreciate that. When the narrative is that you're resetting the universe to remove Batfleck and move away from Snyderverse, they don't go see the movie. People that are massive fans that are not fans of Zack Snyderverse selling it on we're going back to Man of Steel. Well, they didn't like Man of Steel, so they didn't go see it. And that, like, so you see, like, these overlapping circles that maybe in, the, like, for me, I totally misread the room on this one prior to it coming out because I was excited about a lot of these things. I'm old enough to be excited by Michael Keaton. I'm excited for a Flash movie finally coming out after 20 years. Oh, we're going back to Man of Steel. Like, I'm in the small little narrow section of it that's excited about all these things kind of being layered on top of each other. But for a bunch of other people, they turn into a stack of things that have the opposite effect. Well, I didn't like Man of Steel, or I love Man of Steel. Why are you undoing Man of Steel? Oh, you're doing Man of Steel without Henry Cavill? Why? I'm not going to go see your movie. That's offensive. So they picked all these things that created the multiple layers of what made other people go, I don't even want to see that. I think that's what's going on. How do you have such a devastating opening weekend, devastating, catastrophic set of second weekend? You create a product that appeals for a variety of reasons to very few people, that a bunch of people look at it and they go, nope, not for me. I'm gone. I'm out. And that's what you see here. So anyway, what do you think were the top factors in all of this? Because legitimately for me, I think it is that perfect storm of, like, you know, Venn diagram of all these factors going on. And in the middle is the Flash of all these different factors. And you have this movie that just at the center of it is the Flash, devastated by all of these different things. Let me know your thoughts. Thanks so much for watching. Keep talking movies and TV too much. Bye-bye.